Well, my testimony this evening is titled God's Grace in a Fractured Home, because I look back at my upbringing and all that God has done in my life, and I realize I literally would not be here without his grace. For those who don't know me, I am not a native Oklahoman. I'm from the great state of Texas. I grew up in Arlington, Texas, and lived there my whole life until the last 10 years. I was the youngest of three, had an older brother and sister, and I grew up in what might seem to look like a household set up for success. My mom and dad both had decent paying jobs, worked hard at these jobs, and these jobs had potential for long-term good careers. My family was also involved in our local church. We went every week with my dad's parents, who lived only 5 minutes away from us. My father and grandfather were both deacons in that church, and they taught Sunday school. So many would say that the family I grew up in had the main pieces in place for a healthy home life. However, as I got older, I began to notice things were not as healthy at home as I had thought. Around first grade, I noticed that my mom and dad were fighting a lot more. My dad eventually moved out of the house and into my grandparents' house nearby. My parents talked to us and said that they were just working through things. They're trying to enhance their marriage and make things better, that it was just a season. My grandparents had graciously offered to provide their home as a place for that to happen, where my dad could be in a safe environment and then eventually move back in. Eventually, things got better, or at least in that season. My childhood was constantly a back and forth between my parents, back and forth, back and forth. One week, my dad would be back in the house, but this time he'd be staying in the master bedroom, or a separate bedroom away from the master bedroom, and he would be there temporarily, but not really interacting with my mom, kind of an awkward separation, even among in the house. I didn't understand why that was going on, because the next week he'd be back at my grandparents' house. And throughout the process of the back and forth, I had started to realize that the man that I'd idolized so much, as young men do, the Sunday school teacher, the hard worker, the provider for his family, my father was not that man. Like many men in our culture, he had gotten caught up in other things. Our family, and foundationally his faith, was not his main priority. His career and other people took precedence over my family. And so he was absent. We got a check each month, but not much more than that. And so I began to notice my grandparents becoming more active in our lives. They would show up to our ball games. They would come to our school activities. They would invite us over to spend time with them. They would watch us when our parents needed to get out and get things done or to work during the summer. And I remember one day I overheard one of my uncles ask my grandfather, his father, "Why do you spend so much time with Gary's kids and not mine?" It was kind of hurtful to him. You know, you think about that. If you have kids and your brother's or sister's kids gets more time with the grandparents, my Uncle Kent said, "Why is that?" And I don't think my grandfather meant for me to hear this, but he said to my Uncle Kent, "Because Gary doesn't know how to be a dad, and these kids need stability." I overheard that, and that has stuck with me my entire life. And so throughout my entire childhood up into his death, I got a front row seat watching the life of my grandparents. Specifically, I saw a man, my grandfather, who truly lived what he believed. You could tell he believed the gospel because he lived it. He lived it in every part of his life. And I told this a couple weeks to our Sunday school class, but we were talking about evangelism. And I said, my grandfather was the greatest evangelist I've ever known because he lived what he believed. He lived the gospel. He would be gone. I'd look up and he'd be gone at a grocery store, which is not good, right, as watching me as his grandkid, but he'd be sharing the gospel with this person he just happened to meet. He'd be going up to that person. It was very clear that the gospel had gripped his heart and it changed his entire life. He shared Jesus with everyone. And to the way he prayed, you know, in public and in private. And the fact that I was able to observe that, I saw a picture of a man I wanted to be like. I wanted to be like that. What's amazing, throughout all of this, my parents' relationship continued to fluctuate back and forth, back and forth. And that lasted until they divorced when I was 22 years old. So that's from age 6 to age 22, my entire childhood, right? But by God's grace, my grandfather was with us, even if it was until I was only age 14. I wasn't out of the house yet. He was with me for those 8 years. And by God's grace, I became who I am today. A year after his death, I became a Christian. I heard the gospel. I believed. I remember the man that I saw who lived it out in his life. Planted that seed. By God's grace, I became a Christian. And I'm only here by God's grace. Only here by God's grace. These happens, these things, these difficulties and us working through these difficulties only happen by God's grace. God left nothing wasted in my life, in my circumstance, even in a situation I really shouldn't have had to have faced as a child, my brother and sister as well. Maybe some of you have a similar story where you grew up in a broken home, or maybe others of you are going through something you shouldn't have to face, something that it shouldn't be put in front of you, but it is. The Bible says that nothing is wasted in the life of a believer. Do you truly believe that? Do you truly believe that? You know, we quote the Romans 8:28 passage, which says, God works all things together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. But do you and I truly believe that in our lives, in our difficult circumstances, that everything has great purpose and nothing is wasted? I know for me, I can say that I praise God for the difficulties I faced. Because although there are still some questions I have about that season in my life, I now see his purpose. I see that there was great purpose in what he accomplished. That there was nothing wasted. And I wouldn't be who I am without that childhood. What's amazing about the story of God's grace is that today I have a wonderful relationship with my father. God didn't stop there and bring me through it. But also my father was able to repent of his sins. And then now, in a sense, we're kind of catching up on lost time to where we have a great relationship. God left nothing wasted. If you are a believer in this room, which I hope you are, the same Heavenly Father tenderly cares for you and loves you. You are his child. And therefore, in this season you're in, nothing is wasted. So rest in the promise of 1 Peter 1, which I want to read for you. 1 Peter 1, this great, one of the greatest introductions in the New Testament, says this: he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Brother, sister, your salvation will be guarded until the end. Whatever season you find yourself in, know that nothing is wasted with our God. Rest in him today. Thank you.